Okay, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we look into your word, and we're excited. And Holy Spirit, bless the words spoken here, and bless the hearts that hear the words, and let it take root. And Lord, one of your servants said in the Bible, I will hide your word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So let this word take deep root and grow to a big tree of understanding and revelation, that we may be righteous men and women. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about Christ's dominion, the dominion of Christ, and the whole earth was created, and Adam and Eve were supposed to have absolute dominion. And I don't know, think about Adam and Eve. Had they never sinned? Adam and Eve, you know, God made other planets for them and their children. What was that all about? Did you know there's evidence in the Bible, there's accounts in the Bible of men teleporting from one place to another? I've told you that before in here. I can give you a list of who did that in the Bible. It's like, well, why is that valuable to me now? Well, we might do it. You might do it someday before you go to heaven. But you know, what were they going to do with those other planets had man not sinned? Now we try to take the shuttle out just in an orbit around the earth. And now what, twice a shuttle has exploded and killed everybody on it? Two times now? And it's like, they kind of like shelved the shuttle program. It's like, these beasts that we've built, we're too frail for them. So whatever you see on Star Trek just isn't reality, because we're too frail to go through space at warp drive. It's like little shield, heat shield comes off and the shuttle just goes, you know, and blows up. So I'm saying that Adam was a different being than what you see. When we look at each other, Adam lived 969 years. And Adam named every animal on the planet. And he had absolute dominion with his wife over every animal. And God told him that. And you can see it right here in Genesis 1, 26. I'll read it. It says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves on the earth. And God said, See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every seed whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Adam was supposed to have dominion over every creeping thing, and yet Satan, Lucifer, went into this serpent and crept up and tempted his wife and him. So he did not, and he deceived them. And so Adam didn't do his dominion very well. Agreed? So, is there anyone in this room that does not believe in a devil? Okay. Because God says there's a devil, and Jesus battled with him, and we as Christians, if our Lord Jesus battled with the devil, we're going to battle with the devil. He's not gone off the planet yet. And then you have the fallen angels, then you have demons, you have evil beings, you have they call them rulers. They have things they call principalities. They have things they call dominions. They have winged creatures and non-winged creatures. They have little impish-like demons. I mean, his kingdom is huge. And the Bible says that one-third of heaven went with Lucifer when he was cast out of heaven. And there's a scripture passage in Ezekiel and another one in Isaiah that where God's talking to Lucifer and he says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" And there's actually a passage that says one-third followed him. And he, that means the angels, we have fallen angels and you know, where are they? Where are all these beings? You see? Are they all in hell? That's not what the Bible teaches. They're here. Hell is where they're going, but they're here. And they occupy this place. The Bible teaches that there's something called the second heaven. And it's not our atmosphere, but it's the next dimension over from our atmosphere. And that's where these evil beings dwell. And then if you go to the third heaven, that's where God is. It's Paul said he went to the third heaven and he talked with God. So there's a first heaven. Who knows what the first heaven is? Yeah, that's when you look up and you see the moon and you see the clouds and stuff. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is where the devil is. Because, you know, one time God, in the book of Job, one time God was on his throne and all these supernatural beings came in and he saw Lucifer. This is after the fall. He said, "What are you doing and where have you been?" Now, I know God already knew the answer to that. And Lucifer said, the devil said, "I've been walking up and down the face of the earth." Well, and the Bible says he seeks to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And then not only him, but all his follower beings too. See, this is important knowledge. If the Bible taught it, you need to know it. You know, you could say, "I like to dwell on devils," but we, like I said, before you get the gospel and the good news, you need to know what the bad news is. The bad news, if you go to Isaiah 60, Isaiah is after Psalms. Isaiah 60, verse 2, it says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." Let me ask this. Has everyone in here been born again? Received Christ? That's wonderful. See, that means you're not of earth. Did you know that? Did you know that your home, your real home is heaven, and you're just passing through here now? If you've received Christ, it's like you're a citizen of heaven. You're an ambassador in earth for God. That's what a born again person is. You're translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Jesus told the non born again people that were around him. He said, "You are of your father, the devil." If Jesus got all the born again people out here together in this building, the ones right now in here, and he separated out all the born again people from them, he would say, "You're of your father the devil. How would you like to change families?" And the moment you receive Christ and he goes in your heart, you are suddenly of your father God in heaven. And you're adopted back into God's family where you were lost out of when Adam and Eve sinned. You see, And so that's what the new birth does for us. It says he translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So you have these two opposing kingdoms. You have the kingdom of darkness and kingdom of Satan, and then you have the kingdom of God. And I hate to tell you this, but pretty much on this earth, the kingdom of darkness looks like it's winning. Yeah, that's the way it looks. Okay, we know it doesn't win in the end, but this earth is in bad shape. There, you know, if you could put on some sunglasses that would help you see angels and demons and in the spirit world, you'd probably look out there and see only demons over there. You know what I'm saying? Well, let's look at the Bible. 1 John 5. Go to the back of the Bible to 1 John. See, they say there's about 1 billion Christians on the planet. But there are 7 billion people on the planet. 1 John 5. Verse 19. Who has that?
This is the testimony of John.
1 John 5:19. Go ahead and read it, Jeremy, right?
And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that.
No, that's not it. 1 John 5. No, 19. 1 John 5:19.
We know that we are God, and the whole world lies under the sway of wickedness.
There you go. Now this is the Apostle John, like Jesus' best friend on earth. Okay? And the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. And the minority is believers. And how much of God's will is actually getting done out there? If you could walk, like I said, we'll put on some glasses and walk through neighborhoods. Who's shooting up drugs? Who's drinking? Who's partying? Who's sinning? Who's committing violence on people? And who's on their knees worshiping God? What do you think the ratio is? You see what I mean? The whole world lies in darkness under the sway of the wicked one. Even when Jesus was tempted by the devil. Remember on the mountain? And the devil gave him 3 temptations? And this was the 3rd temptation. Oh, by the way, if you're going to tempt Jesus, and the Bible says he was really tempted, then they're going to have to be true temptations. Because don't you think Jesus could see through a fake temptation? Right? Right? So if the devil tells him something that really tempts him, then, and it says he was really tempted. The Bible says he was really tempted. So if the devil tells him something that really tempts him, then the devil's usually a liar. But in this particular case, the devil was telling the truth all 3 times. And that this is the 3rd temptation. He said, he took him to a high hilltop and he showed him, in a moment of time, he showed him supernaturally all the kingdoms of the world. Okay? And he says, I'm in charge of all these. I own all these. And he says, and I have the power to give some to you if you'll bow down and worship me. Now, Jesus didn't say, you're a liar, you don't own all those. Because the truth is, he owns them all. That's why the Apostle Paul says he's the God of this world. But when he said it, he said it's little g. He's the God of this world. See, God owns the earth. But that's just the real estate. The tenants submit to the devil, and they cause, when people are tenants of this earth, God owns the real estate. But the people of this earth who are the tenants, they love the devil and they submit to the devil. They don't even know they're loving the devil. There's just a few people that worship the devil, but everybody else is worshiping the devil with their life, not knowing it, unwittingly. They say the best thing the devil's ever done was prove to people he doesn't exist so he can go on leading them and deceiving them. You see? Yeah. Yes. And I had a young man say, I said, you know what? You know how the Bible says tithe 1/10 of your income to God? You all know it says that, right? Okay. I had a young man in here once and we were talking and I said, you know what? You don't tithe to God, you'll tithe to the devil. And he says, no, I wouldn't. I'd never tithe to the devil. I said, well, let's figure this out. Let's say you're on a real run of sin, okay? What do you do? Let's talk about your sins for a minute. You know, we're funning a little bit, but there was a lot of truth in what I was saying. I said, are you into drugs and alcohol together when you're out there using? Yeah, I use them together. Let's put a price tag on that. It's a couple hundred, $300-$400 a month. I said, you like porn? Yeah, sometimes. Okay, well, let's put a price tag on that. How about junk food? You eat a lot of junk food that's not good for your body? Yeah, let's put a price on that. This guy made $1,000 a month Social Security or something. And when we got done with his sin list, he was spending $680 a month on sin. I said, look, the devil drives you hard. He's much more expensive than God. God would like $100 of your money. And you tie it to God, and He will help you not spend that $680. Now, you can't just mess around. You got to go all out for God. Besides giving of your substance, you know, to God, you have to really want God with all your heart. Because you cannot stop sinning just because you say, I'm going for God. You have to get up in the morning and pray. I'm not going to put you in bondage, say you have to read the Bible all day or read the Bible every day. I'm just going to say, let Him be in your thoughts. Let Him be in your prayers. And make decisions with Him inside of you, helping you. In other words, live your new birth. Live it for real. You know, live it. Live as if He's inside of you. When we turn out the lights in this room, and let's say there was a switch on the wall, then it's dark, right? You can't just will the darkness away. You can't make darkness leave. There's only one thing that makes darkness leave, and that's light. And the switch is over there. So I go over there, and when I flip on the switch, all the darkness flees, right? It has to get out of here. Darkness is not stronger than light. Because darkness can't put out light, but light can put out darkness. You ever notice that? God has all these little things in science to teach us about Himself. So you cannot really just stop sinning. That's like making darkness go away. You have to bring in the light of God into your life. You have to be hungry for God. You know, you can't be hungry for God and hungry to sin at the same time. Did you know that? You can't think an unrighteous thought or a vile thought and a holy thought about God at the same time. Did you know that? You cannot do it. It cannot be done. I told this story in here once, just a few weeks ago, I think, or a few months ago, that this older man and this younger man are sitting fishing at a creek, and they are. He says, the younger man says, "I sure wish I wanted God as much as you do. Could you teach me that?" And the old man goes, "Sure." And he grabs the younger man by the back of the neck. He sticks his head under the water. He's a very strong old guy, right? So this guy's squirming. He's trying to come up, and he won't let him up. He holds him there, you know, like 45 seconds. The young guy thinks he's going to die. He's clawing. He's doing whatever he can. Finally, when this guy is at his wit's end and he's really coming unglued with his head under the water, the old man lets him up. And he goes, "What'd you do that for?" He says, "I just needed to make this point. When you want God in your life as much as you wanted the next breath of air, you will want God as much as I do." And I've talked to people in here about what I'm talking about. And they go, "I don't really want to be a Jesus freak and look like a fool." And I'm going, "Oh, okay. You don't mind coming in all drunk, you know, going potting your pants, okay? I'm trying to keep my language clean. And act, you know, dancing with all the women, dancing with all the men. I mean, just flitting around, saying all kinds of stuff. You don't mind doing that, but you don't want to look foolish for Christ?" I'm telling you, Christ has no side effects, no negative side effects. He will not harm your liver, and he will not cause you to stagger out, fall asleep on the levee so that someone hits you over the head and kills you. I mean, and yet, you can get drunk in Jesus. Remember how the first apostles, on the day of Pentecost, they got drunk. They're staggering around. It was 9 a.m. in the morning, and they're... The opponents, the doubters, they said, "Look at these guys. They've been drinking. It's only 9 in the morning. They've been drinking. They were full of the Holy Spirit." I've been drunk in the Holy Spirit. It happens to me all the time, in fact. I call getting an LUI, living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He makes people drunk. Sometimes when I'm teaching like this, if I'm standing, I start swaying back and forth. And I'm not kidding. I'm not giving you an imagination. I'm not lying to you. I've seen people have to be carried out of rooms because the power of the Holy Spirit was so strong in the room. I had a guy in here once, and I had a guy say, "The hair is standing up on my arms." I said, "I know, there's angels walking among us right now. And I'm telling all you that right now. As I'm talking, there's angels in here walking around among us." And he says, "The hair is standing up on my arms." I said, "I know. Your body and your insides are sensing something in here that is not normal. The whole earth is under the sway of the devil, but right now this room is under the dominion of God. Right in here, right now." And when he walked out of here, he said, "You know, I've used every kind of drug. I've drank every kind of drink. I've had every kind of high. I've been on every kind of binge," he says, "but I've never had a high like I got sitting here listening to you. I've never had this kind of high. I love it. I want to do it again." That's what he said. And so I'm just telling you that, you know, God is, the kingdom of God is a wonderful place. And there is much for us to experience. And let's look at another verse. I'm going to take you to Psalm 8. Psalms is in the middle of the Bible. Psalms 8. Did everybody catch what I was saying about the electricity, the light going on, and the darkness being driven out by light? If you want to not sin tomorrow, just be hungry for God, and you'll have so much light all day long that sinning will be the last thing you think about. And you know what I mean when I say sinning? I'm talking about addiction. Addiction. You know what? Addiction is darkness. When that comes on you, how many agree with me that you feel dark? Your mind is dark. And God's going, "No, son, you're too good for that. You're too good for drinking and drug using. You're too good for sin. You know, I love you." That's what God's saying to all of you. He's saying, "I sent my son to the earth to die for the sins you've committed. If you were the only one that ever had sinned on the earth, I would have still sent him. I would have sent him just for you. If there was no other sinner on the earth but you, I would have sent my only son to earth for you. You see? And by the way, what's your value on this earth to God? Your value is worth the life of his son. That's how valuable you are. So it's time that you like yourself and be valuable to yourself. You see? I mean, drinking alcohol is like drinking poison. It kills brain cells the moment it hits their body. There's no end to the evil that it does in your life. And it's like you're too good. If you've received Christ and you're born again, you know what? You're too good for sin. You're too good for addiction. And you are not the sinner that God's trying to stop sinning, get you to stop sinning. You're the righteous person on the inside that the devil would like to make sin. See, already I'm pointing out something to you right now. You're the half full glass, you're not the half empty glass. It says in the Bible, in the book of 1 John, that which is born of God does not sin. I got a shocker for you. This was a shocker to me when I found it out. The day you got born again is the last time your human spirit on the inside ever sinned again. You have not sinned on the inside since the day you got born again. You haven't done it. Your flesh sins, which is your mind and your body. That's what sins. That's why Paul says, my members are sinning. That's what Paul said. And he wasn't taking responsibility in his human spirit, because he was thinking, like, I'm telling you, that you are a righteous person, too good to sin. And Jesus said, someone came to him and said, what must we do to be saved? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. He says, do two things. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And in that part two, there's more than one person to love. There's your neighbor and... No. Do I have to quote it again? So I know you're all half asleep. I'll quote it again. There's two people to love. Love your neighbor as... Right. Oh, so Jesus is assuming that you love yourself. When he says love your neighbor as yourself, he's assuming that you love yourself. And so if you're not loving yourself, you're not obeying God. God wants you to love yourself. Not with selfish love, but respect yourself, care for yourself, take care of your temple. This is just an earth suit. You ever watch a space movie and they're out there in that icy cold space and there's this pressure problem out there, and they get a hole in the suit, and then it goes, blows up, and they die. You ever see that? Well, you're wearing an earth suit. Did you know that? The real you is not your body. The real you is inside. It's called your human spirit. And your soul, those two things. You have a spirit, soul, and a body. You're a three-part being. And the human spirit, the soul's part is your mind. And then you live in this body, and this body is an earth suit. In fact, they've called it other things. Like Peter said, in a short while, this is the Apostle Peter, in a short while I'm just going to put off this earthly tent. See how they thought? The apostles, they think just like me. This is God's property here. And so I'm going to put off this earthly tent in a while when I pass away. And I'm going to go to be with God, the real me inside here. And so you are perfect in there. You are in the image of Jesus Christ inside there. And you are too good to sin. And you are holy in there. And wherever you walk is holy ground. Wherever your feet are touching the ground right now is holy under your feet. That's what God told Moses. Wherever you stand is holy ground. And I'm telling you, also, there's one other thing. Did you know that when you received Christ, He deposited His glory in you? some of His own glory is inside you. Did you know that the glory stops death? Jesus had so much glory walking around on the earth. Well, at one point they couldn't hardly even look at Him. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? He started shining like the sun. And the three apostles that were with Him could not even hardly look at Him. And that's what's inside of us when we have received Christ, is God puts His glory in there. Now, people can't see that glory, but it's in you. And God's protecting you from death. Did you know that? Did you know? You don't have to think about your heart beating in a few seconds. Did you know that Satan hates every believer on the earth and would like to kill them right now? Satan would like to just... Oh, yeah? Satan would like to eat these cookies. Satan and Chuck would like to... Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate it. I'm teasing. Satan would like to smash you out like that right now. Did you know he can't? Because the glory of God that's in you is abating death in you. You don't have to think about your heart beating, the next beat. You don't have to think about the next breath. You kind of do that involuntarily. And God is keeping you. And yet there's people out there mocking God, and atheists, and they're making fun of Jesus. They're putting into him in sitcoms, and they're doing horrible things about Jesus. And yet God lets them have their next breath, because that's how loving He is. And the glory, but in a born again person, you have the glory. Let me show you that in Psalm 8. This angel is watching man get created. In Psalm 8, verse 4, this angel is watching God create man. And he says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you made him a little lower than the angels." By the way, that's mistranslated. The word there should be... Some of your Bibles have the correct word. The word is Elohim. And that means God. You've made him a little lower than God. Because man is actually above the angels. Okay? And you crown him with glory and honor. If you do a word study in Hebrew on that word crown with glory and honor, Adam and Eve, God put glory on them. And it said that the glory encircled them from the top of their head to their feet. They were encircled with God's glory, and it was outwardly visible. The Bible also says that God wears light like a garment, and He wears light from the waist up and the waist down. God wears light like a garment. Well, He dressed Adam and Eve the same way. And they were encircled, they were crowned and encircled about with glory. And that's why when they sin and that glory was withdrawn, they go, "Oh, we're naked." You see that? They didn't have clothes on before that, but they didn't feel naked because there was something else covering them. Well, now, when Jesus went to the cross, Jesus purchased this relationship with the Father back with us. When we received Christ in our hearts, this glory went to live inside of us. This glory. And I'm telling you, this glory, you want to know a name for that glory? One of the Hebrew names for that glory is called the terror of Yahweh. I've actually walked around down here sometimes, downtown. I've had people freak out when I got near them. Not want to hit me or anything, but like freak out and act weird or say weird things. And I know, and I've had someone say to me once, "You have an aura about you." Well, I don't really buy into words like that. That's not a biblical word. It's kind of like a fortune teller's word, you know. I say it's the glory of God, you know. The first day I ever worked here, I got close to a guy. And he fell out on the ground with a seizure and started convulsing. And you know what? That's exactly what happened to Jesus. When the demons were in people, and he'd get too close to them, and they'd fall down and start convulsing. And then he would cast the demon out of them. And by the way, that guy that did that, he quit drinking. He was dry for like 9 months after that happened to him. And then somebody said to him, I'd like to buy you a beer for your birthday today. And that was the end of that. But what I'm telling you is when if somebody falls out and convulses, well, yeah, that can be the alcohol in their brain, like we see it happen all the time. But it can also be that thing manifested because of Jesus. You see? Because sometimes when Jesus said, demon, go out of a person, they got worse before they got better. They start convulsing after he said, demon, go. Then they start convulsing. So I just want you to see that Adam was made with glory and honor. And Jesus bought this glory back, and he got it back for us. Jesus wasn't the only guy that ever was too bright to look at. Remember, it happened to Moses. After Moses came off of Mount Sinai, we're still early. We've only been going like 35 minutes. We won't be much longer. Some of you look tired. When Moses came off of Mount Sinai and he read the law to the Israelites, his face was shining so bright, they said, would you throw a veil over your face while you read that? So he had to hold this up and look at it with this veil coming over like this, so they didn't have to look at his face. And see, Jesus is the only one that can, you need sunglasses to look at. Moses had the same problem. But I'm telling you, well, one time I was praying for some guys in the mountains at a retreat, and there were some people behind me, and more than one person saw a blue light around me. And as I was putting my hands on these people, they said, that light is going down your arms and it's going into those people. And more than one guy saw that. It was blue. I don't know why it was blue. But I'm just telling you, we have this light all the time. We have this glory of God. The glory is the substance of what God's made of. It surrounds Him. There's a church in Reading. I showed some of you a picture of it about 2 months ago. I showed a video of it. And they're worshiping, and all of a sudden this real cloudy substance starts coming out of thin air. It's not coming out of a heater vent. It's not coming out of a machine. And it's got sparkles in it like gold dust. And it's just going like this. And it stayed in the air for an hour. And there was no smell. There was nothing burning. And just went through the whole building. And the people are just looking at it. Everybody's getting it on their cell phones. You can go pull it up on Google. It's on Google. And that was the glory of God. And that's happened many times in modern day. But that also happened in the Bible, in the tabernacle of Moses. The glory was so strong that the priests could not even stand up under the glory. Now I've mixed in the good news, which is we are redeemed. And we're too good to sin. And we have the glory of God in us, you know. And I've talked about evil. And you just need to know a few things. Like, there's a passage in Revelations, and we won't go there. But it talks about merchants and kings. And it talks about them being the great harlot of Babylon. And what I want to say to you about that is, Satan and his followers, his minions, are in most businesses and most political things, political machines. Okay? Even the ones we think are good. You know, like the IRS, that is so demon infested. Try dealing with them. Try dealing with someone on the line, heartless person. You're just a piece of meat. You're just a number to them, you know? And that trickles down from the top of the organization. And these organizations, even like, okay, I'll be so bold as to say this. GA is probably run by demons. The fact that they're giving money out doesn't make them godly. Okay? And by all means, get the money. Take the money. But I'm saying, you get the feeling when you go in and you talk and stuff. It's like, and it's like these organizations. See, I don't want you to take my word for it, but it says the whole world lies in darkness. Satan truthfully told Jesus that all the kingdoms of the world belong to him. All right? You know what a business is? Like Microsoft? It's a kingdom. You know? Even a person's household is a kingdom. And it's when you get to the little guy, it's when you get to the guy's lowly household is when it can be Christ-owned. And God said, you come out of this, it's called the Babylonian system of economics and politics. And Satan is in control of almost all of it. And when I learned this like 20 years ago, and then I've been coming against it little by little, I could tell you some crazy stories. There was this college that was founded by Christians, and it's a state college, and it's in Pennsylvania. It's a great college, supposedly. Okay? But it was, you know, a lot of our colleges nationally were founded by the church, by Christians. But they're no longer Christian. You see what I mean? They don't treat people with the love of God anymore. They're kind of like a big legalistic system of grades, and you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do that. And I'm not saying don't go to college, okay? You must not get me wrong. I'm talking to you spiritually about the source of spiritual things. I'll give you an example. I had a relative, and she's young, and she's in college, and she had to do a term paper, and it was May, and she was graduating with a 4-year degree. She had a job all lined up for the summer that was based on having that degree, and she was going to be a school teacher, okay? And in that year, towards the end of the semester, she was hitting the books at night. She was going to class all day. She caught mononucleosis. She was fighting that. She was trying to stay awake, drinking lots of coffee. In the middle of the night, she's typing a term paper, and she forgets a footnote. Everyone know what a footnote to a term paper is? Okay, she forgets a footnote. So, these professors, they bring it up to a panel of professors, and they decide that she's a plagiarist. Right? Now, does that sound like the devil? Does that sound demonic? Does that sound evil? Guess what they did? She had a ton of student loans, or she'd been putting herself through college. They said, you're not graduating with your class. You've committed plagiarism. It's one of the worst offenses that you can do in college. And she said, I'm sorry. Let me redo it. They said, no, forget it. What's done is done. You've done it. You're not going to walk with your class. This is across the country, okay? And this is a relative of mine. So this person's mother calls and says, she's got big trouble. She can't walk with her class. She cannot get her diploma. She cannot have that job. She cannot pay for her student loans. Okay? Now, this is supposed to be a college that was founded by God's people in the 1700s, okay, in Pennsylvania. So I said, okay, let's pray. And the mother and I prayed on the phone. And I said, tell her to go ask the people accusing her to reconsider and have her appeal. So I get a call in a few days, and she says she did it, she tried, and they would not do it. They said, she's not graduating, forget it. So I said, okay, let's pray again. See, now, why would I be persistent?
God told us.
Okay, listen. I'm a man of God, And the lowest Christian, the lowliest, weakest Christian is more powerful than the biggest devil in hell or in on earth. You need to understand that. That born again has given you the ability to put down the devil in your life or in anyone else's life. And one man, in the book of Daniel, one man changed the destiny of the nation for Israel. Daniel, the prophet, he prayed and he changed the destiny for Israel. And the devils came after him and they tried to stop it. And God sent a big angel from heaven, Michael, and he blocked those devils. And Daniel's prayers went through. Okay? I can show you that. We didn't have time. That was on my list. We didn't have time to look at that. So, now I know because I understand that most businesses and most political organizations, including colleges and government organizations and schools, even churches are run by the devil. Not all of them, but I mean some of them. And I'm telling you, I knew that the devil was crucifying my sweet little niece because she was a little born-again girl who made a mistake that was an innocent mistake, and they're going to crucify her for it and make her shamed in front of the whole school and all her class, which is a couple thousand students, and they were going to revel in it and enjoy doing it. Okay, and I know I'm dealing with devils in Pennsylvania as I'm praying from my house. I think I lived in Roseville at the time. As I'm praying from Roseville, I'm dealing with devils in a college. And I don't know, I'm sure they go all the way to the top of the college, like the dean, the head guy. Okay, and so the mother called me back and I said, let's pray again. We prayed. I said, now go ask her to appeal it again. She went back. I get a call a week later. The graduation's coming up. They won't reverse it. They won't reverse it. They won't change their ruling. She's not graduating. She's really down. She's really depressed. I said, let's pray again. Now, why would I be so... I'll ask it again. Why would I be so persevering? Because I believe God that this is a devil situation and I'm more powerful than those devils. See? So if they haven't bent yet to me and this mother I'm praying with, and my wife is in the background walking along as I'm on the phone, I put it on speakerphone, and my wife's praying too. So we have a three-way prayer going on over these devils in Pennsylvania. So I said, we get all done. Well, this time we spend 20 minutes. And if you've never heard a prayer that addresses devils, is something to behold. If you've never heard a yelling, shouting, forceful prayer, the Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. That's what Jesus said. The kingdom of God, if you've never heard anyone fight and put down the devil, you ought to hear it sometime. It's not like a deliverance. It's just like an intercessory prayer. That's what it's called. Okay? And so we did. We forcefully prayed. And I said, now, I know she's probably tired of this, and I know she may not believe us, that you send her to ask again if they'll reverse it. And so the mother called her, and she says, no, I'm not going again. I'm not going back to ask again. So the mother called me back and said, she won't ask. So I said, okay, then I'm going to call them. And I'm going to talk to them. And so then when the mother told her I was going to do that, she goes, no, 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 I'm a grown-up girl. I'll do it myself. She goes back. Someone overheard her asking. Some guy, some counselor, someone in the school. And he said, what are you asking? And he took her aside and he started listening to her heart. He started listening to the situation. He says, something's not right here. He started making people known in that college that it wasn't right. Guess what? The devil's plan just went crashed to the ground. They said, you may walk, you may graduate, you may get your diploma. Okay? Now, I've had this happen dozens of times. Impossible. See, impossible situations like this. I had a girl once stuck in, I had a Hispanic girl, was married to a guy in Lodi, and she was supposed to come across the border, but she wasn't a citizen, and the American consulate banned her from crossing the border, and they said, you may never go. We will never let you go. And they didn't like her. And I'm thinking, okay. And so they came to me and they said, what, can you pray? I said, I'll pray. And so I said, American consulate, the devil. Okay, why? Because I believe God. The whole world lies in darkness. And kings and merchants are under the power of the devil. So I said, I started praying. My wife and I prayed. We prayed with someone that was related to this woman. The guy had gone down there and married her, and it was his wife. And he's a Christian young man here, and he lived in Lodi, and they would not let her come to live with him. And so we started praying. We stayed on this for like 2 months. We prayed. And we didn't seem to hear any changes. And then it was the aunt who asked me initially to pray. It was her 50th anniversary, and they had like 60 friends. They invited them to be on that riverboat that goes down the river, you know, for parties and stuff. So we got invited on that boat. We didn't hear anything about this girl, okay? And we're sitting there. My wife and I walk in, and everybody's going, looking at us and pointing at us. And we're going, what are all these people pointing at us for? And so we go over, we sit down, and everybody's drinking, but we don't drink. My wife and I don't drink. And so we had our Cokes or whatever we had. And all of a sudden, they bring in this pretty little Mexican girl and her husband at her side. She comes running and falls in my arms like she knows me. Well, I don't know her. And she's weeping, and then she hugs my wife, and then she hugs me, and then she hugs my wife. And it's like, these are the people that prayed you through. And yet, I don't think I had more than... I think I had more than a half hour invested in the whole deal. Okay? And yet, I turned that couple's... God in me turned that couple's whole life around, and we put down the American consulate. And it took some time, but we broke through the American consulate. And this girl came, and now the Bible says how... It says in Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. You know, and it's like we had beautiful feet, I guess. It's like we were beautiful people to her because we were the Christians and we knew what to do, and God solved her problem. But I'm telling you, you can be bad around the rest of your life by the devils that run this world. Or you can step up, you can be the son or daughter of God that puts them down and takes them out. You see, and one man or woman can change a whole nation. One man or woman could turn everything around in America. And don't think I'm not praying. You see, and don't think God doesn't have 10,000 like me praying somewhere that I don't know about. And don't think God doesn't have us in good unity, even though we don't talk to each other. So... there's just many more stories like that I could tell you, where God, companies I've worked for, I used to be a real estate broker, lenders, title companies, real estate firms, investors, people that are all think they're so smart. You know, one time I prayed through a problem, and this unsaved real estate agent comes up to me and she goes, what do you have, an angel on your shoulder? And I said, you could probably say that. And it's like, I don't want you to think that that's makes me so special. Jesus said, greater works will you do than I do. You know, let me close with this. Remember that night he's at Gethsemane, in Gethsemane, and he was praying, if this cup pass from me, Father, and his disciples kept falling asleep on him. And it was the night before his crucifixion. And they showed it in that movie, The Passion of the Christ. Remember? And he kept telling his disciples, stay awake, and they kept falling asleep on him. Well, the next day he finds himself in front of Pilate, Pontius Pilate. And this is what he says to him. Pilate says, don't you know I have the power to crucify you? And Jesus says, you don't have anything except it's been given to you from above. You have no power at all except it's been given to you from above. Well, you know what that means to me? Demons ruled Rome. And they ruled that Pontius Pilate was the ruler of Jerusalem and that region of Israel. And demons ruled him. And he's saying to Jesus, I can crucify you. And Jesus is saying, no, you can't unless it's been given to you. And what Jesus means is, last night I stole away into a garden. And I'm unkillable because of the glory that's in me. Jesus said once, no one can take my life unless I lay it down myself. That's what he said once. He even said to another disciple, he said, don't you know, the disciple didn't like what was going on. They're arresting Jesus. He says, don't you know, I could call for 6 legions of angels right now and they could deliver me right now. You know, legions are 12,000 angels. One legion of Roman soldiers is 12,000 men. That's 12,000 angels, one legion. 6 of them is 72,000 angels. You would have seen some fireworks that night if Jesus got weak, disobeyed the Father, decided not to take the cross, which was his choice, called on those legions, and they came and slew every Roman on the earth. Because, you know, 6 legions could do a lot of damage of angels. The point I'm making is, what does Jesus do when he steals away by himself at Gethsemane, besides talk to his Father and fellowship with his Father? He gives permission to the demons over Pilate to crucify him. And then when Pilate says, don't you know I could crucify you? Jesus says, you could do nothing to me unless it was given to you from above you. In other words, Jesus, just like I took control over that college and I took control over that American consulate in Mexico, Jesus took control over Pilate, the Roman ruler of Jerusalem and that region. And what I'm saying to you is that's what he's given us to do. I thought you all find this interesting, just how far reaching it goes to be a Christian. And God just calling you, start right where you're at. Take authority and let this dominion rule in your life. You're too good for alcohol. God, you're too good for drugs. God has a whole future for you where you're going to take out some demons. You're a warrior. You see? Where you're going to cause... You know what a missionary ought to do when they go into a jungle? They ought to first take out all the demons that rule that jungle. Then I don't think the natives are going to come out and kill them. You get it? Of course, now the jungle is Sacramento. Did you know that foreign countries are sending missionaries here now? That's how bad this country has got. And so we're in a jungle. And there's evil here. And there's enough to... I'm saying don't let the devil ruin your life, push you around, and definitely set your foot down about sin. But you got to get as hungry for God as the guy that's got his head underwater for his next breath. That's what you got to do. See, my life is all about God. And my wife too. And her and I are in agreement. And we want our destiny in God. And we will have it. And we will keep having victories. Some of the victories we have, no one will ever know. Until we get to heaven, God will say, thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. And now we're going to roll the videotape. And we're going to let everybody see what you did. See, some, you'll not get appreciated on this earth for much. But God will make it known in heaven. He'll reward you in heaven. You see what I mean? But Christianity is not a life of no trials and troubles. But it is a place where you don't have to bow to sin, and you don't have to bow to devils, and you don't have to lead a substandard life. I mean, I have a marriage, it's like heaven. My home is like heaven. You see? My day is like I'm in heaven. I don't get riled. I don't get angry. And I live in a lot of peace. I'm kind of a wisecracker, you know? But I see humor in everything. God has a sense of humor. God laughs a lot. And God says a merry heart does good like a medicine. So actually, if you can laugh a lot, you can get healthy. Well, let's pray. I'm going to have everybody in here say a prayer with me. And even if you already received Christ, let's all say this together anyway. You can't really get born again. You know what I mean? But I'm not sure everybody in here is born again. Some people think they are when they're not. And so we just want to be sure. You know what I mean? Dear Jesus, we believe that you died for us. Thank you for saving us. We commit to you. We commit to not sin. We want you. We are hungry for you. Fill us with your Spirit. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you that we have power over devils. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.